We're just kind of getting radio fishing back up for this week. We've got an all-star panel for you today to catch up on this long-awaited, much-anticipated fishing forum report. That's
fishing forum, really?
Yes, the fishing forum. Man, I got to do a show like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We were just laughing about that, we're talking about Black Sabbath's going to be their last tour because one of the guys is dying off. We keep going, well, I guess you got to be like the most major consumer of illicit substances in the world and then write children's book like Keith Richards that keeps you immortal.
You know? Exactly.
Who would have ever guessed?
Nope.
So, anyway.
Every cigarette you smoke takes 2 minutes off your life. And God gives it to Keith Richards.
Okay. As you can tell, Fish and Frank in the chair here, Captain Kill in the guest spot, Robert in the chair across from me, and we have Captain Carl in our other guest chairs. Yes, we have four microphones going today. It is going to be, very, very mild response
subdued.
From the audience. Very, very subdued.
I were hanging out with Keith Richards last night.
I think it was the Keith Richards thing. I think they're all big Keith Richards fan, and we're somehow deflaming his, derogatory his issues. I'm sorry. It was only half his fans.
And I think Carl's laughing at us, not with us. I don't think he knows who Keith Richards is.
Yeah, that's very, very
popular. I think he's too young.
Young. Come on now.
When did you get that young?
I'm 34.
Okay.
Who's Keith Richards?
He's a singer.
Good.
Good answer, Carl.
Good answer, Carl. We'll take that on categories of way too young to know ancient history. All right. So, anyway, we are going to do the area fishing report. I do have an announcement of a personal nature here. If you've been keeping up, I have been ill over the last few months and all that. I haven't been able to actually go out in a boat. I was actually getting seasick here in the store. I have successfully made 2 trips out recently. One up the Peace River, had a great ride up the river, came back on the little creeks. No real incidents there. But then yesterday, took the boat and did like 60 miles on the boat. Nothing like a little test run.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, a little test run. Just, from the house out through Boca Raton Pass, down around through Captiva. Stopped. We had a couple friends in the boat, Cliff and his girlfriend Terry. So Terry and I were out with them. And stopped Cabbage Key, had lunch, and came back up to 60-some miles. And only a couple minor incidences. I think I'm going to end up having to wear earplugs when I go out.
Yeah. It's probably not a bad idea anyway.
It's still pretty awesome that you got to go out and actually enjoyed yourself.
Solid strategy. Let's go far enough out that if anything does happen, nobody knows how to get home.
Yeah, right? Well, that was kind of in my mind, too. If I can't make it through this, do I even want to come back? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a 14-year-old. What can I say? No, it was actually a... I did the test run on the Peace River,
right,
and everything seemed to be pretty good because I did it in the flat bottom skiff, that 24 skiff of mine. I went out in that, and then yesterday I took my boat out, and I remember why I love my boat.
Absolutely.
I remember why I have over 3 years of standing on the deck of that boat. It is amazing to ride in. And we were coming back, and something that's only, I don't know of another place in the world you can do it, where you can run through the rain. You're seeing the rain hit the water, and you're literally going between, you've got rain to the right, rain to the left, and then you got this little point of rain coming out, and you see that, and you're literally taking the boat and doing a slalom course between the storms and the rain that you see.
This is the only place you can do that.
And, they were laughing at me at the back because all of a sudden here was this big finger of rain coming out from one of the storms. I was coming right around the edge of it, and I'm probably doing about 50 because the downdrafts had taken the waves off of the water. The pressure of the downdrafts.
It's like a sheet of glass.
And just a very ripply sheet of grass. And then all you see is this rain come across right in front of us. And I looked, I said, well, I could swing around it. Ah, the heck. And I just said, we're going to be 50 feet through this rain, but it was actually going to get me away from it quicker. So I just blasted right through it. They're all just laughing, having a ball watching me trying to avoid all this rain. And it was a lot of fun.
I used to tell clients, if you don't behave, I can make it rain on the front of the boat.
Right.
Just the front.
I'll be dry. I'm in the back of the boat, but I'm going to put the front of the boat into that storm.
Yeah.
Hello, Father.
Hello.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess, hang on, just, okay. Well, it was my dad just came in, so we had to take a second and talk to my dad and see what's going on. Boats and boat issues, everything else is issues, you know. That's the way life goes. But we're going to get to the fishing report here now. Fishing Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, Captain Kale in the guest spot, and Captain Carl on the other microphone. Let's see, we're going to... Peace River Systems. What's going on up in the Peace River? Anybody heard anything?
There's been a few snook, actually, up there on the Shell Creek area I've been hearing about. Most of them have been peanuts, but a few guys have been kind of trolling through there and picking up a couple oversized fish. You know,
getting a lot of tarpon up there.
Where are you seeing tarpon?
Way up the
way
Peace
up
River?
Or down?
Way up between 75 Bridge and 41 Bridge.
Between 75 and 41.
A lot of good tarpon.
Okay.
Seeing black drum around the 75 Bridge. A lot of redfish over there by Darst Park.
Any size, Tom?
Oh, usually oversized. For some odd reason, that seems to be a pretty good oversized redfish magnet over there.
Wonder what it is about that spot.
Nobody goes there. It's quiet.
That helps.
And it's so shallow, you can't get most boats there. I mean,
they're pretty peaceful in there.
Yeah, unless you've got a flat-bottom boat or a real flats boat, you know, skinny-running boat, you're not getting over to that Darst ramp on most tides. So
really?
And if you do come in with a kind of a normal boat, you've got to go all along the docks, all the way down about two, three blocks east of there, and then come out around that bar. But you can't go from there out to the islands. Mm-hmm. And
right. Shallow.
You might be able to go to the left and come out and come up through I-70 underneath the bridge on I-75, but even that would be iffy.
It's risky.
There's some real skinny spots going that way. Now, going the other way towards east or north, you can probably get out, but you're going to be hugging the shoreline, and which is good because you're fishing the docks there as you go along.
Right.
But if you're planning on leaving there to go fishing, it's not, that's not the way to fish it. You put in a Darst, and then you come out, and you immediately go to the right, work that shoreline, and start casting those docks. And just plan on that's a big part of your fishing trip, because it's going to take you a while to get out anyway. And you'd be going to less fish than what you would have right there, at least in my opinion. What do you think, Carl?
No, that's exactly what I would do.
Okay. Which is going to bring us down, let's say, let me get a, make sure I've got this on the right copy and paste. What we're trying to do now with radio fishing is, if you want to go and listen to what we're talking about, you can go on to our place-by-place fishing report, which has pictures and shows you where these places are, and you can actually see the places we're talking about. And we're following down the place-by-place fishing report. We're adding some other stuff into it, but you know, it's the basic rundown on it. Eventually we'll have everything on the place-by-place. But that takes us down by the 41 Bridge, Power Pole Park, and the rest of the expanse of the bridge. What's going on down there?
41 Bridge has been a lot of snook in the very early morning, some juvenile tarpon, been some black drum, and still a few lingering redfish. Kind of a mixed match of stuff.
Yeah, we still have quite a few people coming in and catching redfish there at the new park on an outgoing tide.
Yep.
Some tarpon, in the morning. Not a lot.
Okay, I got three guys here. I'm typing. Somebody could say something, you know? I mean, the reason I have you guys here, I could do this by myself if you want. I'll just say the report, then type it, say the report, type it. Come on, you guys are supposed to be here for support. Moral support, backup.
So basically, we're here to fill up a time while you type.
Yes.
The redfish have been doing better.
I had to find some news for you.
We're going to have to get him a stenographer.
Yes. Yeah,
it's not that we don't type. It's just he types too, or we don't talk. He types too slow.
True. There's no doubt about that. And I don't spell correctly either, but I'm trying. All right. That's going to take us over to Lashley Pier. What's going on down around Lashley?
I've been getting a lot of mixed reports there. One day the guys are doing great on mangrove snapper. A couple oddball, really killer colored trout, and some small snook. But it's been one day good, next day bad. Next, that's the evening. It's kind of hit or miss. You know, that's what I've been hearing.
There's some black drum running around on the Punta Gorda side.
Well, we are at Lashley. It is on Punta Gorda side, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Now,
Keith, Richards.
I don't know how he can be Keith Richards. He's actually straight. I mean, he's actually a non-user. You know, we're going to call him the natural-born Keith Richards. Keith Richards took handfuls of every illicit substance in the world for decades, was known as the king of the illicit substance. He was in the Rolling Stones, and he looks like he's 187 years old, but he's still going, and he writes children's books.
Looks like he's dead, but he's still alive.
Yeah.
So. He's still functioning.
Oh, yeah.
It's also, Lashley Park is, I think, one of my favorite places to go look for snook. From land.
Okay.
Walking that pier with a lure, you know, with the tide, I think, is still one of the more productive places to do it.
Well, I like Frank's technique of trolling down the bridge.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, walking it down.
Yeah. We were going to give a talk, and we were in one of the buildings there at the park. And I said, well, come on, we'll walk out the pier. I'll see if I can't catch a snook. And I threw a Texas chicken colored 15 bomber out, threw it out there, and just started walking along, shaking the rod, and boom. But you can't stand still and land that fish. The first thing is, when that rod pulls back, you have to reel and run to the fish.
Yeah.
If you don't, you just stand there. There's too many poundings between you and where you hook the fish.
Right.
You're never going to see them. So you got to get off your lazy butt and run back to the fish and get that fight going on directly overhead of the fish.
While trying not to give it slack.
Exactly, because then it just gets further under the pilings. It's quite challenging, but it's a lot of fun.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun to do. All right, kind of worn out my welcome on Lashley Pier, more ways than one. Let's take over to Bayshore Pier. What's going on Bayshore? Anybody heard?
Been some small redfish being caught all along that whole park there. Guys wading out there and also fishing off the piers, mainly in the early morning. There's been a couple tarpon hooked off there with guys who dreams of trying to catch a shark or a cobia in that black water, but it's been kind of quiet otherwise.
Which is kind of surprising that the cobia are so quiet.
Not really. This time of year, they're with all that fresh water pumping out of there, they aren't real big on fresh water. You know, I've never heard good reports when we have this much volume of water coming down. It seems like get better reports on that full moon when you get those super high tides, push it in and stall that river out a little bit. That seems to be when they come in a little bit better.
When that rain stops, they'll push up.
Okay. Now, let's see. I think, what does this bring us over to? The canals in Port Charlotte. We've got the everything to do with Port Charlotte. Anybody heard of anything in the canals over here on the Port Charlotte side?
A lot of snook in the Port Charlotte canals.
A lot of snook.
There's some redfish running around the canals, too.
Black drum are still doing well.
Going back to Carl for a minute, what would you do to find snook in the canals?
Throw a storm twitch bait. You know, either that or throw it up on the docks or troll it down the canals.
So what you're doing is, this almost to me requires an electric trolling motor though. You're going to kind of go from one dock to the next casting two, three casts under each dock.
Unless you're trolling, then you don't need a trolling motor. But, you know, instead of driving all the way out to catch a whitebait, just get some lures, and lures are doing just fine in there.
Yeah, that storm twitch storm is twitch. Just rocking them back there. 15 bombers.
Storm paddletail.
Yeah.
Also,
isn't it funny how a company that we weren't really 3 years ago really didn't even know? I mean, be it the paddle tails or the hard baits or whatever, it wasn't a popular lure. And over the last 3 years, 3 to 4 years, I would say, it's become a staple of the fishing industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's now. I did not think anything would ever rival the DOA bait buster, but this thing is there. The storm swim baits are actually
they're good.
Giving a run for the money to the for the DOA bait buster, which I would have bet is impossible. I didn't think anything would be able to ever knock the DOA bait buster, and I think the reason is they're both very simple lures.
Yep.
Very simple. You know, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
And don't reel it in.
Yeah, and they're not $20. The one is $5 for a pack of three, and the other one's $5 for the one. Yep. They're not expensive, and they work. So, all right, but back into the
bunker
canals.
Color. I'd be throwing a dark color.
Yeah, the browns.
Yep.
Dark
yep.
water, dark colors. Anybody disagree on the color?
I'll go opposite of that sometimes. Sometimes throw white. Sometimes crushes it.
There has to be white. I'll throw white sometimes too. Doesn't it always have to be white? You know, here I thought we're finally going to get a unanimous decision. Now I'm going to throw the white. Okay, that's okay. That's your job, Robert. That's your job.
No, it's just options.
Okay, options.
The bunker is definitely my first one, but if I'm not getting anything on it, I'm going the complete opposite direction to white, because when white works, there's nothing else that'll touch it, and there's no rhyme or reason for it, whether the water's clear, whether the water's dark. You when might, white turns on, right. nothing else works.
What I'm going to insist Storm do this year. The brown one that you like is not available on the Twitch. Mm-mm. So that's going to be the lure we're going to insist on them doing this year, because
the bunker colored Twitch.
This just makes sense.
Why not? Absolutely.
When the show is over, I am calling Rapala. I'm calling right to the director of the company and say, this is what I want, because that. I mean, people are going to catch so many fish, and quite honestly, boys and girls, I'm going to make so much money. I mean, that's the way I like the world. Everybody's being happy. I'm being happy. I get money, and everybody's happy they're catching fish. But that is, how ridiculous is it? Not one of us, me or anybody in the panel here, has, you notice I've been watching way too much news lately.
Yes.
We are a forum. You're a panel. Okay, so, but that's the logical step. That's the next level. The whatever color that is, brown. All right. Anything else we got in Port Charlotte canals? Jacks, trout. Anybody heard snappers? What's that?
There's also some juvenile tarpon.
Okay.
Yeah, juvenile tarpon have been really pretty good at the mouths of almost every canal.
Yep.
Spring Lake has been inundated with them, which has been pretty cool. And some of those fish in there are in that 60-pound range rather than that little 10 and 20s that most people are used to. So it's been pretty good. I've seen one school of jacks this past week cruise by the house, but it's been relatively quiet on the jack scenario in the last several weeks over there.
I'm so excited to see them, because we didn't see them in those canals for 20 years.
Exactly.
I know for sure 15 years went by, and every once in a blue moon, there'd be a jacks through there. I've heard more about jacks in the last 2 years than I've heard in the preceding 15 on the Port Charlotte side. Now, they've been steady in the Punta Gorda side for decades.
Right.
Steady. No issue. They're there. But the Port Charlotte side is surprising that it's come on. Now, swing around the Mayaca cutoff. Anybody have anything on? Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. The Mayaca cutoff's good. We can do the Mayaca cutoff.
A lot of redfish and a lot of snook.
A good snook?
We weren't fishing for a snook today, but we heard snook popping in the bushes all day in the cutoff.
Timed way high.
Mm-hmm.
Let me guess, you were fishing with Craig?
Yep.
He insisted on going there?
Well, probably.
We both kind of did.
It's just a
game. Oh, okay.
There's a lot of fish in there.
All right. What was interesting? Yeah, that was exactly my point. You didn't go for white bait. Nope. You didn't go for anything. You just took shrimp.
Yep.
Now, okay, we've got our panel here together, and we're going to discuss our... Kale, you're a fishing instructor / charter boat guy. Robert, no one's exactly sure what you are, but we always rely on you as our encyclopedia.
Crustacean relocation technician.
Yes, but you are our encyclopedia. Captain Carl, the Keith Richards of charter boat captains, El Natural. He does not do anything illicit. He comes by this naturally. So, who would have thought shrimp? Anybody would have guessed. I mean, I would have said, yeah, we'll take some shrimp, because it's always a good idea, you know, on a dozen, two shrimp, you know. But I would have thought for the redfish, it would have been crabs, maybe cut bait, but probably crabs and white bait is what I would have thought at this time of year, with the heat and the water and everything the way it is. Anybody have an opposing opinion?
I just think
the only thing I would add to it was frozen shrimp instead of live shrimp.
Okay.
A lot of bait's pushed out of the harbor, so, you know, our fish are starting to change, I think, you know, to their winter diets.
Yeah, I didn't even bother taking the cast net yesterday.
I mean, we had crabs on the boat, but we didn't have to throw them. We were catching snook, snapper, redfish, all on shrimp, on a jig head.
So, okay.
Dark-colored jig head.
But it is kind of surprising they're working as well as they are.
Yeah,
because, yes, the white bait is pushed out. but man, is there still a ton of pinfish everywhere.
Mm-hmm. But now, in your head, Carl, you took the shrimp just because you knew you didn't have a lot of time, and you said, okay, well, so we're going to take something for bait. Yep. This wasn't by any means your first, second, or third choice, was it?
No, I've been fishing a lot further south lately, and I've been using all white bait down there because there's a lot more bait down there. But we were staying close because we didn't have a lot of time today, and I just knew that there wasn't a lot of bait up on the upper end of the harbor. So we took shrimp with us, and it panned out. We caught a bunch of fish.
So there you go, boys and girls. I put up a fishing update on the fishing updates, obviously, and splattered it all over the internet. You know, that shrimp is just, this is not the time of year that I would traditionally recommend shrimp, but hey, right. It's working. And it's, you know, I know it's $3.80 for a dozen of the bigger shrimp, but by the time you figure your gas going out looking for white bait, the time involved, if your time has no value, you know, by the time you pay for the gas and all that, maybe it'd be about the same. But if your time has any value, the shrimp is a way less expensive.
You're
going to
go through a bag
option.
Of chum, and that's a dozen and a half shrimp right there alone.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it is actually a much easier. Takes you, you know, 10 minutes to stop in here, and by the time you talk, okay, it's going to be 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
they're going to stand and talk at the counter and yak and all that. If you cut your talking time down to a minimum, you know, you get in and out in 5-10 minutes. I just would have never thought this. This was something that came as a complete surprise to me. I was out on the water yesterday, admittedly not fishing, just, you know, seeing if I was physically able to be on a boat, which was nice that I could. All right, let's take a jump and go over to Elgin Pier. Anything going on at the Elgin Pier?
It's been actually kind of quiet.
Yeah.
You know, they have been getting some snook there at night, but it's not the usual gangbusters the way it normally is for a fall opening snook season. You know, they've been getting a few mangrove snapper, an oddball black drum. There's been a couple tarpon around there, but it just hasn't turned on basically at all.
That place gets murdered on the first day of snook.
Yeah.
The first month of snook.
Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's just very, very quiet.
I put the wrong dates on all of these. Looking at this going, really, did I just do all that? Oh, well, I'll fix it before I post it. But I can fix the rest of it now. Oh my goodness, why am I doing this?
So it's Carl's fault.
Yep.
It is Carl. It was his influence.
Yep, all me.
Carl's influence that did it. All right, let me get this. There I go. I got that. Copying. All right. Now, that brings us to backing up along the Mayaca River to the South Gulf Cove canals. Now, I did have a guy send me an email, and rattle traps, any kind of, you know, bait with a little more noise to it, and they've been doing good at
that. That place has come alive.
Yeah, redfish.
There is one drawback to it this week, though.
Okay.
The locks are going to be closed off and on all week. Customer was in yesterday, and they were closing them down yesterday. Wednesday.
What do you mean by closing them down?
Not opening them. They're going
to
do some kind of maintenance. I don't know.
Either
way, the locks are going to be screwed up this week.
It's the same thing if you got an elevator. Sometimes you got to shut the elevator down and fix it. You got to take the stairs.
They
don't have stairs.
The good
that's
news
their
is.
Only way out.
The good news is for the people in Gulf Cove, A, not a lot of them there right now, B, is they're catching fish in the canals.
Yes.
The fishing in the canals has actually gotten a lot better. Could be a little extra cloud cover, drop the water a couple of degrees. We're not really sure why it's getting better back there. But
well, that water temperature has dropped big time this past
that's
week.
Probably the big factor.
I'd say but the good news is the fishing in the South Gulf Coast canals is getting a lot better. Rattle traps, anything that makes some noise is a good bet. I have not had a report on people still fishing with like shrimp or freshwater shiners or anything like that. The only reports I've gotten are with noise making lures.
I wouldn't be afraid to throw a crab in there though.
Yeah, it would probably be a pretty good idea. I saw a lot of crabs over the last few days.
And
a lot of blue crabs.
They're catching redfish trolling. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to troll inside Gulf Cove, South Gulf Cove, put your rod in your hand. Because you haven't lived until you have felt a redfish hit a trolling lure. It is just so much more of an impact than snook or trout.
Really?
A lot more fun.
I haven't experienced that, but, you know, it's been so long since I've been on the water, I could have forgot. I mean, you know, I have radiation treatments in my brain. I am diabetic.
Well, it's not very often.
I am Meniere's disease. I am a walking disease factor here, you know.
It's not very often that you get to catch redfish
on
the troll.
That's good.
Yeah, you're not contagious.
No, I'm not contagious. Unless, you know, hanging around me will dull your intelligence.
You're not a typhoid Mary. You're just a normal level of unhealthy.
Normal level of unhealthy. All right. So, leaving that behind, the West Wall, Blowdown Creek, Muddy Bay, not Muddy Bay, but the West Wall, Blowdown Creek, and Oyster Creek. What are we looking along the
West
Wall?
I've got a question first. What is Blowdown Creek?
It's a little one that goes up and kind of meanders in. Go on the website. You'll find it.
I'm going to have to. I'm sure I'm calling it something different.
The only reason I called it Blowdown Creek is there is no name in existence that I was able to find for it. And every tree, as you get up in there, was blown down from the hurricane.
Gotcha.
And at the mouth of it, it looks just like a normal old creek mouth. But as soon as you get in, all the trees were laid over. It was just nothing but blowdown trees. And I took the name from after the hurricane when I went in there to take the pictures.
Is that the one that's got the piling in it?
No. No, that's Oyster Creek. That one has always had a name. That's always been Oyster Creek. That one, it's been a long-term name. But Oyster Creek, you go up and has a piling. But when you get up inside, it comes in a big lake.
Yeah, big bowl.
And then you can go up past that to where the old artesian springs were. And when I first went in there, those springs were 50, 60 feet deep. And now it's 12 inches deep. It's all silted in. But unintended consequences of people moving into the area. They start pumping groundwater for bathrooms, coffee, taking a shower.
Pretty grass.
Normal human life. But, I mean, it's human life. You know what I mean? They built a house there. Every right in the world to build a house there. No one knew it was going to, you know, take out the artesian springs.
Sure.
And it was every one of those creeks on the east side, west side were kept as creeks because of water bubbling up at the mouth of them, what made that creek, the water flow out. That was the artesian springs. Port Charlotte did the same thing to Punta Gorda, did the same thing to the east side, places like Burnstour, Pirate Harbor, Punta Gorda, Burnstour Isles, all the rest of them. And, you know, so you cannot blame anybody in South Gulf Cove. Unintended consequences.
Sure.
When we did Port Charlotte here, I was an iron worker putting up buildings. We finished that building, and that was the tipping point between rainy season and no more rainy seasons again. And no one had a clue that you could put up one building in a parking lot after many others were built. And that one was the tipping point between, okay, rain every afternoon and not having that again. So these are things you learn as humans go along. And so I don't blame anybody. I take water out of the ground for me to eat and live.
Sure.
They have every right to do it. And I like the people in South Gulf Cove. Great people. No one knew this was going to happen. But it did happen. And so now the old artesian well doesn't come out. Now, going down the West Wall, I just want to know
why
there are any fish there.
I just wanted to know
where Blowdown Creek was. I just wanted to know
where it's all up and down the West Wall. There's not a lot of big fish, but there's, you know, a lot of
small snook, every bush.
Good quality fish, you know, 20.
Mike is all the way up, but, you know.
22 inches, there's good fish all the way up and down the whole wall.
All right, now, you're going to call with a lure, you're going to call bait, shrimp, what do you
mean? The way my cutoff was today, I'd probably throw shrimp.
Now, shrimp, Rockport Rattler,
yep.
Jighead?
Rockport Rattler, probably the Fool's Gold.
Are you letting it sit, or are you bouncing them?
Letting it sit for, you know, 5-10 seconds, and I'll work it out very slowly.
Now, when you mean work it out, you're moving
straight
it
up and
6 inches.
Yep, straight up and down, just pop it, let it hit the ground, pop it again, let it hit. Greg was throwing a pink one, and he didn't get no bites until he switched over to the Fool's Gold, like I was using a darker color. And then he started catching more fish.
You deviated from pink?
Huh?
Are you okay?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
You used another color other than pink?
It wasn't working, so I had to figure out what was working.
Okay. Just curious. I didn't know you owned anything other than pink
just
jig
those
heads.
Two colors. The Fool's Gold and pink.
Okay.
It's weird that how much they change with just the color of the jig head. It's
it did.
Still a shrimp.
It made a world of a difference because Greg got fed up with it and cut that jig head off. He started cussing like Greg does, and he put one on.
Greg cusses?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And he put that dark color jig head on, and he started catching redfish.
You didn't tell him the one you had was the last one?
No, he had his own. He had some of his body.
I was going to say, I would have said, oh, man, I would love to give you one, but I'm out. This is the last one I had. I would, just so I could kick his butt all day fishing.
Oh, he heard it, because if it was the other way around, I would have heard it all day, but he heard it all day.
Yeah, that would have been me. I would have had to go there.
I couldn't have passed that one up.
Yeah, I know it's not the high road, but, you know, come on, it's Greg. You have to. Okay. All right, getting down, we're going to go down to Cape Hayes and see what we got going on down there.
Cape Hayes has had a mixed match of stuff on the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes, basically where it drops off along that trough. There's been some Spanish mackerel, a few ladyfish, a few oddball little sharks, especially bonnet hens. Been a few flounder, kind of a mixed barrage. Even some mangrove snapper through there.
Okay,
getting some trout too.
Yep, trout are starting to move in.
No matter which side of the bar,
on the outside of the bar,
on the Boca side,
4 feet.
On the Boca side or the let's say the harbor side.
Boca side.
On the Boca side. Okay.
Yeah, the harbor shrimp side I haven't heard much about.
Has anybody been up along the shoreline in the trough there? Anybody fish there? Seen anybody fish there?
I ran through the other day. I seen some redfish, a couple scattered redfish. I did see quite a few more snook more I got down towards Cape Hayes Point.
I was going to say, I caught a couple more nice, more snook. He caught a couple like high 20s, not quite legal, but high 20 snook right there at the mouth of Muddy Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He said up inside it was all little peanut snook, and he saw one snook that he said was probably maybe over the slot, but mostly a lot of little guys.
A lot of snapper inside Muddy Bay in that deep water.
What deep water? Over by those little shacks? Or the little float houseboats?
No, all the way back towards the right where that big 5-6 foot wall is. Okay.
If you go back, it's pretty deep back in there too. It's 8-10 feet deep. It's
been too long since I've been up inside there, to be honest.
Okay. Brings us around to Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut. Anything inside or outside of any of those?
Redfish are all over, scattered inside Bull Bay, and they're starting to scatter a little bit more into Turtle Bay, too.
There's a lot more fish in Bull Bay right now than Turtle Bay.
A lot of trout on the backside of the Turtle Bay bar.
That water temperature, I think, is really changing things up since that little tropical depression / hurricane came through. A week ago with all that wind and all that overcast
really
and that rain.
It has really helped.
10 degrees cooler out there on those flats, so I think it's just gotten those fish really finally excited.
It was 86 degrees yesterday out on the tailing flats.
Especially that sandbar just on the outside of Bull Bay has been doing good. It's really deep, close to the deeper water. So I think those fish are sitting there next to that deeper water getting a little cooler throughout the day.
Right. It's a good spot for a lot of water movement, too, through there.
There's a lot of water moving through there.
If you see me fishing there, just leave, because there's nothing there. I never catch anything there. That's the one of the two spots in the harbor I never catch anything there.
Really?
Yes.
Out in front of Bull?
Yes. Never.
I've seen some pretty big fish there and caught quite a few snook.
Oh, so have I.
Out along there. You just can't catch them.
Just can't catch them. That's my twilight zone.
All right. Speaking of the twilight zone, the Cape Hayes Reef.
Basically some Spanish mackerel, mangrove snapper, then a couple undersized, very pup gag grouper. There's been a few assorted sharks there from lemons, bulls, big black tips, and then a sharp nose. So, I mean, kind of a mixed variety of those. But they've been hit or miss. They've been there in the morning, then they've been there in the afternoon the next day. But there's been a good number of sharks there.
Good shark fishing.
How's the thread fins down in that area?
There's still some thread fins running around out there.
I mean, I know it's black
Between
water pouring out of there.
Cape Acosta, there's still a bunch of thread fins.
Okay. Right. I know usually when those thread fins move over on that reef, that seems to be when it gets it really exciting.
Coming up around past Devilfish, Kaoplu, and now that working those flats going north, the Gasparilla Sound, the tailing flats, or even if you have something on the inside of Gasparilla Island, that whole area of Gasparilla Sound.
Trout, we destroyed the trout in there yesterday, and we were having a hard time picking up big trout on the tailing flats.
On the tailing flats.
And we had to go old school to catch the big trout. We went back to the old chartreuse jig head with a bass assassin, the black and silver with a chartreuse tail, that we always used to use for years.
Salt
the Blake jig.
Salt and pepper chartreuse
the Blake jig.
Tail.
We had to go back to those to really catch the legal size and oversized trout.
Also been hearing of quite a few redfish scattered throughout there too, right along redfish. The whole perimeter, not so much up in any of the creeks or whether it's widden or catfish, but all the shoreline, a couple of those little islands, sandfly, white pelican, all that stuff, there's been a good amount of those.
Really surprised at the number of big snapper that we picked up in the potholes too.
From Whitten Creek to Catfish, there's a lot of redfish running on the outside.
Most of them are oversized too, aren't they?
Majority of them are all too big.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing
too. There's a lot of good fish over there right now. Whitebait, crabs, cutpin fish have been working really good on them.
Isn't it weird how the cutpin fish work so well on those fish in that area?
Yeah, because cutpin fish won't eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but cutpin fish are just an amazing bait.
They are. They're good.
I mean, people end up throwing them out of their live well and say, chop it up. Just cut its tail off and throw it back out there.
Why it's twitching.
Because I'm going to bring that. I'm going to bring into that discussion, not for, 15, 20 years, we never cut pinfish up for bait, really.
No.
I mean, it was just not a normal way to fish.
Better be alive. And
if it was alive, you fished it. But if you, usually once it was dead, we didn't really use them. And we never got around to cutting them up for bait. And it's just one of those oversight things.
Well, it's weird. It seems to work better down there. It will outperform any place other place in the harbor. It's just the tailing flats, Whidden, Catfish, even around Gasparilla. It's weird how it works so much better there than it will try it up here inside like the barge canal. Forget it. They want them live there.
Yeah, well, and it could be because most of the fishing, most of my stuff, the reporting and stuff is done, has always been in the upper harbor. Anything against Boca Grande and Gasparilla Island? Anybody heard about anything over there?
A lot of trout, a lot of redfish on that backside between the Three Sisters going over to...
Bird.
No, even further over to the marina.
Miller's?
No, South Pier.
Gotcha.
Oh, crap. What's the name of it? Uncle Henry's. I'm sorry. Uncle Henry's, all that whole shoreline and some of those deeper coves that are back in there where the houses are at and their docks. Been a lot of redfish, a lot of guys going over there and having a good time with that, and some good snook too. It's been pretty nice, and the water is starting to clear up a little bit on that back side of the island. There's still some tannins, but the visibility, you've got at least enough visibility where you can see some of those deeper sand holes and some of the troughs. It's just not clear.
Okay, it's going to take us to the Placida Trestle. What's going on there?
Some snook.
Yeah, still some snook, snapper, small grouper.
Yeah, if I was going snook fishing, that would be the place that I'd be going. Mm-hmm. Right at sunset's been killer from what a couple guys have been saying.
Oh, yeah.
Late night hasn't been as good except for right at first light in the morning and right at sunset. They've been picking up some good fish there, along with a few oddball Spanish mackerel, the snapper like you guys were talking about. Even been a few incidental sharks and juvenile tarpon kind of popping up around there.
Yeah, that was the one thing we forgot to mention about the tailing flats and in that area.
What's that?
The lady, the picture that lady had.
Oh, Marilyn's daughter. Yeah.
She came in with a picture that they caught a juvenile lemon shark.
When was the last time you saw a baby lemon shark in Charlotte Harbor or anywhere?
I can't remember. I know I have, but I can't remember.
This was this year's baby, I would have to say.
I have caught every juvenile shark that comes in this water except for a juvenile lemon.
I've never even seen one cruise in the flats.
No.
This one was probably 30 inches.
Wow.
It was cute. It's the first one I've ever seen.
kitchy 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 cool. Yeah, you baby.
Well, we know they come in here to give birth. You would just think, with all these people that catch so many small sharks, you know, because we get the inundation of lemon sharks that move in here always in July and August.
Oh, this year has been an extraordinary year on big lemon sharks.
Yes. Yeah.
Lots of them. They've been catching tons of big lemons. And this whole ban on the lemon sharks is really buffing up that population of bigger lemons. But you're right. It's very unusual to see, 30-inch lemon sharks.
I was starting to believe they were born 5 feet long.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally the smallest one I've ever seen is about 5 foot. So it's kind of cool. Something neat and different. Wow. Good stuff.
Hmm.
I've never seen one that small.
Yeah. It was awesome. Wow. She pulled out, look at my little shark. I thought, holy crap, that's the smallest lemon I've ever seen. It was awesome.
Okay. Speaking of Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay.
A lot of redfish.
Lemon Bay is turned around.
Up there at the kayak launch, north of the Tom's Island Bridge. There's redfish right there at the backside of Ski Alley.
Yeah, pretty much just about everywhere through there. I'm getting good reports on redfish. Yeah.
Lemon Bay is finally back to Lemon Bay.
Schools of redfish and a lot of singles and doubles. I mean, underneath all those docks, guys are catching at least one redfish under each dock. And once again, cut pinfish have been kind of dominating it down there. You know, they've been doing okay on the other stuff, but the cut pinfish has been killing it.
There's also been some good-sized trout up there, too.
Yeah. I've heard of some better trout right there on the backside of Stump Pass as you come in. What's that island?
Yep.
Don Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
On that shoreline on the backside of it. There's been some good trout over there.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a pretty area through there.
Yes. Very nice area.
A lot of nice people. I mean, the Englewood Fishing Club, great people to deal with.
Absolutely.
We give a lot of talks out there in the Englewood Fishing Club. And, you know, it was one of the primary reasons we've, you know, added so much about Lemon Bay into that report. We're going to be adding more coming down. I'm going to be, now that I'm able to go in a boat, I'm going to be able to get a lot more pictures at a lot more spots between Lemon Bay and going down. And then we got to work south. You know, we got that store opening up in Fort Myers. We got to start putting stuff in it next week. So we're going to have to get pictures and a lot of pictures, GPS coordinates for all those areas, from the Caloosahatchee all the way on up, all the piers and all the rest of that stuff. There's so many more fishing spots we're going to have to add to this report with the entire south end of, you know, Charlotte Harbor, the whole Pine Island Sound area. So, gee whiz, boys and girls, are going to be putting up with more of this. All right. Englewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge. Anything going on from the pier itself? Anybody heard anything?
I haven't heard anything.
One report of snookfish in there. The guy went last week sometime. He was in here yesterday talking about it. And he didn't catch any legal fish, but he caught a handful of small guys. You know, that's about the only report I've had over there as far as that pier.
Do you have any idea what he was using for bait?
He was actually buying more bombers. He bought several different colors because he was going to experiment with some sizes because he was throwing the 14s. And the one good hit that he had on was the 15 and got broke off. So he was going to mess around and try to experiment.
Okay, well, that's actually pretty cool. All right, let's see what's up next. Okay, that takes us out into the Gulf of Mexico. Reefs, wrecks, trolling.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Unbelievable. Ever since that storm came through and stirred everything up, it blew in so much bait closer to shore. The Spanish sardines, the thread fins, cigar minnows. I mean, all that stuff's virtually been very close to the beach. So the bonita have been anywhere from literally like 100 yards off the beach to 4 miles out, along with some Spanish. There's even been some good mixed reports of kings very close to the beach within a couple hundred yards. And then the snapper bites still been really good at that 5 to 15 mile mark.
Been some really big redfish running the beaches.
Yeah, I've been getting some mixed reports
big
on that.
Breeding redfish.
We're not there yet though.
Oh, I thought that was the Gulf.
No, we're doing out in the Gulf. And then then what we're going to do is then we do walking the beach is what you can catch from the beach.
Hmm.
You know, the gag grouper have started to pick up just a little tiny bit, but mostly out there in like 25 to 30 mile range. Red grouper have been in actually a little bit closer in that 20 to 25 miles. And then I've had a couple guys say that they've seen permit but haven't caught any. They've been out there and just all of a sudden see a couple little swords pop up around them, nice. And then they
That's
disappear.
A good thing,
yeah. Yeah, it's always kind of neat. You know, and a couple guys did catch a couple bull reds on Trembly Reef the other day. You know, they were just strictly bottom fishing, but it ended up catching like 30, 35 inch redfish, a couple of them. They were pretty excited about that. And Mike Myers caught a big snook, or a legal sized snook off their trolling out there the other day with a stretch 20.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah.
And it was a slot sized snook.
Now, that's
no
the odd part. It wasn't humongous.
Right. He was pretty excited about that.
That thing is out there pressing its luck.
Yeah. That's kind of neat. You know, so there's been some good activity. I mean, this storm has kind of made a nice little change, even though it's such a pain in the butt for everybody that got creamed by it. It's made our fishing a little bit better overall.
Well, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I told you so. I said this
no
tropical storm would affect the fishing here in a very positive way. But that's just historical evidence.
Absolutely.
Every fall, Florida kind of needs the tropical storms and stuff. Not hurricanes, not destructive stuff, but some tropical storms that will cool the water down, bring everything kind of back to life. We get kind of the same thing in the spring. You know, we've had the cooler winters, then all of a sudden the rains start, and it starts flushing stuff down the rivers. A lot of fish come up in. It's a big deal to get that bite started and the tarpon thing and all that.
Yep.
And I think one of the reasons we're not seeing as much of the tarpon fishing this fall is the rain. The river was flushed out in January, and again in April and March and April and May and June, and it we didn't get that flood of new food down the river because it's already flooded. So
it wasn't an ebb and flow, it was just a constant flow.
Yeah,
it didn't stop to build up a mass amount of food that could be flushed down into the harbor. So I think that's one of the reasons our tarpon fishing this fall is not as historically good as other years. But we are going to do a separate tarpon report here pretty quick. The passes, what's going on in the passes? Boca, Redfish, Captiva, Little Gasparilla, Stump Pass, Venice Jetties, pick a spot.
Boca and Captiva are the only two I've heard about, honestly, this past couple days. And it's been Spanish mackerel, some good mangrove snapper, a few flounder, a couple good-sized pompano. And then what Carl was talking about earlier, some big bull reds cruising right along the shorelines of those passes. You know, so it's been kind of a mixed gamut. I know there's got to be snook out there. I just haven't had any reports.
Did anybody know anything about any of the other passes? Anything?
I haven't heard anything.
No. Carl?
I haven't heard any of the other passes.
Then moving on to our next place. Now we're into walking the beaches, Carl. So now we want to hear about that. Once we leave the passes, now this could be walking the beach from Venice all the way down to Sanibel.
Yeah.
What would you say? Big redfish?
I mean, there's a lot of big redfish. I mean, a guy was in here the other day. He said he was trying to shark fish, you know, using chunks of mullet, and he's sitting here catching 35, 40 inch redfish.
Out there off of Boca?
Yep.
Right. That's there, a horrible problem to have.
I mean, he said he was getting tired of them because he really literally just wanted to catch sharks.
Yeah. Well, this is the time of year where that happens, and usually it's kind of a mirror image at almost all the passes, but Boca Grande seems to be the more popular one during the daytime, but Venice Jetties usually lights up really good with the redfish. I haven't heard any reports yet, but the night fishing for the redfish there usually gets good. Captiva Pass is usually pretty studly, and so can Redfish Pass, so
all right.
Those are all places to be worth experimenting.
You know, if you're walking on the beach trying to catch one of these redfish, you talking just big chunks of bait, or is there something else you could use?
Gold spoons. I mean, gold or silver spoons would be, you know, another thing I'd throw at them.
Right.
I'd be throwing a big bucktail with a gulp curl tail on it like I'm grouper fishing.
Something big.
Bounce it.
Something big.
Something that I can work slow and keep it as close to the bottom as possible for those bigger redfish.
Now, if somebody's not interested in doing battle with a monster red, although I think it would be a very cool idea to do, is there anything else that we could fish for just, you know, driving out, park your car, and start walking along the beach casting?
There's been some flounder, a few pompano, some oddball bonnet heads. The weird part is, like, I'm going to pick on Boca just because I was out there on Saturday, so I got first-hand knowledge of it. After the storm came through, it that normal flat that we have out there.
Right.
It's actually pushed very close up to the beach right now from 10th Street down to 1st Street. There's a trough that's 4 foot deep and about 15 foot wide all the way along the beach. And then it comes right up to 6 inches of water for 50, 75 yards before it starts to taper back out. It's,
wow.
It's a trip. And it did that a couple years ago when we had that storm, but that was, it was hodgepodge potholes, but this one's actually created a serious trough for almost a 1 mile stretch of beach up there. I mean, like I said, from 10th Street down to almost the lighthouse in the middle of the island.
That would be really interesting. If you didn't mind swimming, fishing, you know, just swim out, stand up in that trough, and start walking along, casting the outside and the inside
the
of that trough.
The amount of bait that's out there, it's going to be a great place to find flounder.
Yeah, yeah, the flounder got to be impressive. But
flounder, pompano,
I didn't see any snook walking along. I saw a lot of whiting. I saw one little baby. I'm guessing it was a flounder. It looked like it was probably about 4 inches long. At first, I thought it was a stingray.
Yeah.
But it swam funny, and then it disappeared on me. You know, so, but mixed reports out there, so it's been pretty fishy.
All right, let that take us down to Ponarasa, Sanibel. What's going on down there? From there, it would be under the bridge at Ponarasa, around the outside of Sanibel, and up on the inside, or like maybe to St. James City or something. Anything going on there?
I'm just hearing of some snook and tarpon at the Sanibel Causeway, both. Yeah. Mainly in the early morning and the evening bite. That's the only real report that I have gotten from that area at all.
Some snook at the causeway. Also along all those docks just coming inside the Sanibel Causeway, there's a bunch of snook on them.
Is there?
Yep.
Usually is this time of year. I just haven't heard of any.
They're big. I mean, if I'm going to go there,
around all those hotel docks
ladyfish
and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw live ladyfish or mullet is what I'm going to throw. There's been a lot of redfish down in St. James City, though. A lot of good redfish down there.
That's one of your more favorite areas to go to.
I love it down there. I wish I lived closer.
I know you fish a lot. That's why, you know, we all kind of look at you for that report.
Snapper fishing down there at Sword Point.
Look at it this way, Carl. We're going to have a store in North Fort Myers.
I can't wait.
See. So, you know.
I'm going to pitch me a tent down there.
He's going to be a squatter on the property.
Yeah.
The only thing
Keith
is,
Richards.
Yeah.
You're going back to this?
We're not going to let this one go. You're done.
When you get done with the show here, you could go and do a Bing search or whatever. I don't like Google because you never know what they're going to put up. They hide so much stuff. But do a search on DuckDuckGo, Keith Richards, and get a little history lesson. You'll find out why you are the natural Keith Richards. All right.
Sword
moving on.
Point's got a lot of good snapper in it.
Where is that?
Sword Point at the mouth of the Coosahatchee.
I gotcha.
That's got a lot of good snapper in there. We did hook a couple nice sheep's head in there last time. We caught some really good snook and some nice redfish in there, too.
I think you're going to have so many customers from the new store, people wanting to go fishing down there, because I know you love
that
area.
It's a great fishery down there. It's an amazing fishery.
I love it. So, all right, let's come up there and go to Matt Lachey. What do we got in Matt Lachey?
This is still your area, Kyle.
The Bokelia. It's got a really big school, big breed of redfish on it.
Bokelia?
Yes.
Okay, we're not there yet. Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey? There's
little
redfish,
north, little south.
Redfish up and down the whole way. On both east and west bank, there's good redfish.
Are those juvenile tarpon still plopping out of the canals at the mouths of the canals
there's
there?
There's also some of them juvenile tarpon at the power lines.
Okay.
There's been some juveniles up to like 100 pounds I've seen there a couple weeks ago. There was some nice tarpon there. Target the oyster beds for your redfish. That's where I've been finding a lot of the redfish down there in Matt Lachey, is around all your oyster beds. Around all those oyster beds down there, there's a good drop-off. On either one side of those oyster beds, there's a good drop-off, and they're sitting in that trough. Cut bait's been working the best for them. Shrimp would probably work good, too. I just haven't thrown shrimp. I've been throwing a lot of crabs.
Right. I know it's one of your more favorite baits.
There's a lot of redfish down there in Matt Lachey. There's also a lot of smaller snook down there.
Well, there you go.
All right. Now, let's go across over to Pine Island Sound. On the outside of Pine Island, what's going on the outside of Pine Island?
I've been getting some good reports basically from Patricio all the way down to Captiva Rocks as far as redfish, snook, and trout along the shoreline, under the bushes, any of the little cut-throughs where people, you know, the man-made troughs.
Down there, you know, by kind that of a hopscotch. You know, all those deep corners on all those islands are all holding a good snook right now.
Yep.
Down in the Pine Island Sound. White bait's your best bet for them, or lures. You know, a twitch bait or something like that, because it's deep water, so you can actually throw a lip bait in there.
Yeah, that's the cool part about Pine Island is that it's 2 foot, 10 foot, 2 foot, 10 foot.
Yeah, it gets deep. I wouldn't want to walk across one of them holes.
No.
USEP Oyster Bar has been holding some flounder here and there.
Yeah, that whole area is really just pretty awesome. I mean, Frank's taken me down there a couple different times, and it's so neat with all the variety of the contour of the bottom there is so amazing. You know, it reminds you a little bit of the Keys in some ways.
Well, going out to try my hand on being on the water, Cliff and his girlfriend, and she had never been to Florida before, and California girl transplanted up to the Memphis area, and they came down, and it had been years since Cliff had been out there, and they were both just kind of wide-eyed, you know, going out into the Gulf and then coming back through Captiva Pass with all the, you know, the driftwood trees that are there. And I think there's a bunch of oyster shells, shells hung from the tree branches there. And are people writing the names on the shells and hanging them on the tree?
I know in some areas they are, but I don't know if they're doing it down there.
I mean,
I've heard of them doing that up in Homosassa and Cedar Key. They're kind of starting a little trend with that, and I think it's starting to spread throughout Florida.
Yeah, there was a bunch of oyster shells. Now, I didn't beach the boat and go walk around, so we were just driving by, and that was my first guess. People were writing their names on seashells and hanging them like Christmas ornaments off the trees down there. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to see.
So the nice part about it is it's minimally invasive, because when the tree branch gets, these are dead trees anyway, when the tree branch falls off, the shell goes back where it belongs.
Right.
And, you know, having it a little bit of time in use as a decorative thing, it's not bad. There's no harm, no foul in that whole scenario. I was pretty impressed. We're talking about Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals now. Carl, you're up.
There's a really big school of big oversized redfish sitting there on the Boquilla right there by Jug Creek Shoal. I've been throwing all white bait at them. I've also, one day I got on them, we chummed them up so good, I picked up some lures and I was just throwing gold spoons through them. And we were plucking them off with gold spoons. We were also catching them on bigger paddle tails. But they're all big breeder redfish, 35 to 40 inches. They're fun to go catch.
They like those bigger baits.
I mean, I threw a half a crab out there, out the side of the boat, and we were throwing white bait out the front. We hooked up two on one, the white bait, and then I reeled in the crab, and there was no crab on the bait. So I don't know if a pinfish took it or what took it, but crab might work on them too.
All right. Let's see. That's going to take us over to Burnt Store, Two Pines, you know, going along that shoreline there. What are we seeing?
Well, a lot of trout, a lot of redfish.
A lot of snook.
Some small snook. And a handful of flounder being caught in some of those sand holes and up on top of the bar. And if
flounder have come alive everywhere.
Yeah, been getting some good mixed reports on flounder all over the place.
There's a good school of redfish running south of Burnt Store Marina.
Yeah.
Halfway between Burnt Store Marina and Two Pines on top of the bar.
Did you guys see the news last week with that guy that had to be removed by the fire department down there off the Burnt Store bar that was wade fishing?
No.
Somebody said he was out there fishing and the water kept coming up and up and up. You know, it's usually knee deep on that bar at best. But we've had the wind coming out of the west and that water kept coming up, and so did the sharks.
Yeah. He got surrounded by black tips and bonnet heads.
Really?
The Boca Grande Fire Department had to come in because they were the only ones with a shallow enough boat to help him out.
Wow.
For some reason or other, instead of, you know, take a step towards shore, fend off the sharks, take some steps towards shore, he just stood there in trying to keep them off of him with the end of his fishing pole, which makes him more and more curious. But you literally need to start walking away from those things.
Yeah.
You don't want to stand
there. Maybe take that stringer off you, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had one, but
I've seen some big sharks there.
Well, there's some big sharks there, but it's kind of entertaining.
Don't scream, they'll eat you.
Yeah, don't scream, they'll eat you. Yes. But, yeah, it's one of those things where...
I mean, I feel bad for the guy because it's probably embarrassing as all get-go.
Sharks are very, very curious.
Mm-hmm.
Really curious type creatures. People don't think of sharks and curiosity going together. But they'll get it in their head. They want to go up to do something, and then they keep, you know, and the end of your fishing pole is not bothering them. It bothers them. They kind of move away. But it does make them more curious.
Yeah.
And you literally have to make up your mind, if you're wade fishing and you're starting to be surrounded by sharks, that maybe you want to walk away from that place.
Yeah.
This would be a good thing. Start moving away. And, you know, but I guess the water got deeper. If he went in off the bar, the water would have got too deep where he didn't feel that he could see the sharks coming at him. You know.
I would have made my way to one of them islands out there.
No, don't get nervous till the little ones disappear.
Yeah.
Then you worry.
The little ones still hurt.
When the little ones leave, then you worry.
Yeah. The big one showed up.
Yeah. Hello, daddy's home.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. On the east side from Pirate Harbor North, what do we got?
Just north of Pirate Harbor, there's been a lot of good redfish and oversized redfish.
Still lots of trout out there on the east side. Lots and lots of little snook under every mangrove.
Okay.
Have the snapper moved back over there too?
No, I haven't gotten to the snapper over there.
Not really.
But I sent one of my clients over there yesterday. He called and asked me where he should go, and I said just north of Pirate Harbor, bring shrimp with you, and he caught like 6 or 7 good redfish, him and his wife did.
Right. I've heard the Little Johns have been working really good too over there, along with the spoons for all those snook and redfish.
I don't know where the snapper on the east side have gone. They were all huddled up in their little spots, and now all those spots are empty.
They went up in Alligator Creek.
Yeah.
That's where I think they went.
Very possible.
Poacher's Cut, very Alligator possible. Creek, maybe Pirate Harbor.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I just haven't heard much of snapper over there, so I was kind of curious about it.
I was catching in the net when I was throwing for you
get two
bats,
or three every throw.
I was
throw.
Getting a couple in the net, but now I'm not getting any at all.
All right. Well, that's going to move us into Alligator Creek. Speaking of Alligator Creek, so what were we just talking about? I was typing. I wasn't listening.
Talking about the snapper possibly moving up in there from the east side.
Yeah, I haven't had much for reports of snapper in there, but I've gotten some good reports on redfish.
I've been doing a lot of good
fish with the guys actually just drifting right along the shoreline there.
Tarpon in the mouth.
A lot of tarpon and redfish and snook at the mouth of Alligator Creek.
I've heard of a couple mixed match pompano and some jacks up inside there, especially as you get closer to the marina there, the restaurant and all that stuff. So, kind of a mixed bag of stuff, just not phenomenal.
All right. PGI Canals, we're going to start with Ponce de Leon Park. What's going on Ponce de Leon Park?
Snook.
A lot of snook.
A lot of snook. There's not a big number of big ones, but there's a pile of 20 inchers in there. I mean, you go in there and have a field day.
Yep.
White baits working amazing for them, or you could use, you know, like a fluke.
Yeah, white flukes are working
great.
White
flukes have been working good. Storm twitch stick have been working good. A Rapala has been working good. There's a lot of good snook fishing, and then there's been an occasional redfish being caught out of Ponce de Leon too.
Now, how are the snapper doing there?
They're
small.
Still catching them, but
small?
They're small.
Yeah, they're like 8 to 10 inches is what I've been hearing most of the guys talking about. You know, there's also been a few black drum coming through there, oddball juvenile tarpon.
First thing in the morning, the tarpon are there when the sun's coming up.
Yeah, so are the no-see-ums. I'm not going in there unless I can help it.
They'll carry you off the boat.
That's got to be like the number one worst place on this.
The good thing is no-see-ums don't have Zika.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I mean, you gotta look at the pros and cons of everything. Okay, you're gonna go there and you're gonna be literally acid bath from the no-see-ums, but they don't carry diseases, so, you know, they hurt, they're painful, they're itchy,
that
they're nasty,
that makes it all better,
annoying.
Frank.
It just made it so much better.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's going on in the canals of PGI?
A lot of little snook, even some bigger oversized snook up inside those canals. And the juvenile tarpon have been unreal from what everyone's saying. You know, water's starting to clear up just a little bit in certain canals, but it's still pretty dark. But the tarpon just everywhere. I mean, I can't think of one spot that's not having tarpon with somebody coming in and talking.
They're from Ponce all the way to Bass Inlet.
Yeah.
And all the canals.
Yeah, I mean, every customer comes in here and they all can't live on the same canal because they're just coming, I got juvenile tarpon all over behind my backyard. How do I catch them?
Yep.
It's been pretty impressive.
There's lots of jacks running around the canals.
But they're all, most of the tarpon are out near the mouths.
Yeah, I got some of these people are way back in the bird section and stuff talking about
them. Way in there.
Wow.
I mean, literally from the start of it all the way to the back, you're finding tarpon right now. Gilcrest Pier, anything going on along the Gilcrest shoreline?
Nothing. Crickets.
Yeah, crickets.
I have not heard a thing over there, honestly.
First thing in the morning, right when the sun's coming up, there's been a few tarpon, but they disappear right away, right when that sun comes up.
Gone.
I mean, none of the guys are really shark fishing over there, snook fishing. It's been strange. Ever since they changed that seawall up, it seems like it's a little bit less of our regulars talking about it.
Okay, now that's going to take us out to the Alligator Creek Reef, the Concrete Reef, the 1 Mile Reef. Whatever you name it, whatever you call it, it's off Alligator Creek, south of Ponce de Leon, up in the harbor. Anything going on there?
You had some tarpon there in the morning. They bounce between their Alligator Creek and Mangrove Point. They move around, so you have to get out there and look for them.
Been some Spanish mackerel and some smaller sharks all down on the southern end, basically the last third of the strip there. I've only heard of a couple mangrove snapper and a couple undersized gag grouper off of there, but the bottom fishing has been really quiet. You know, I'm not sure what that's about, but you know,
you think that thing's filling in, like dirt's covering it?
Uh-uh.
Not that spot.
The one at Cape Hayes is sadly being filled in. That one's on its way to not being a reef at all anymore. But the Alligator Creek Reef, being on that pocket on the Punta Gorda side, doesn't really get the silt. There's not a lot of silt over there. We don't know why it doesn't. I mean, on the incoming tides, it should just silt over.
Yeah.
But it's remained in pretty good shape.
That's good then.
Yeah, and it's actually okay. This now brings us to the deep holes in the harbor.
Catfish!
Lots of catfish.
Lots of catfish, small sharks.
Yeah, some small sharks. Been some hodgepodge of bigger and smaller Spanish mackerel.
Yeah.
Had one guy come in and it's all 10 to 12 inches, and another guy comes in and it's 13 to 15 inches.
Usually on the incoming tides.
Yeah. But it's just weird how they're skipping sizes. You know what I mean? They're all over the map in there.
Yep.
Yeah. I know it's that time of year, but it's just funny. One guy comes in, nothing but small ones. Another guy comes in, hey, I had a great time. They're all good size.
Okay. Now the bait report. Where would you find pinfish? What's the
everywhere.
Best place
to East find Wall.
Everywhere, yeah.
From Alligator.
To Harbor.
From Alligator East. Creek down.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I would even start at Mangrove Point. There's a ton in there. All the way there.
Also at Devilfish.
They're almost becoming annoying.
Yeah, it's been. They are the white bait this year. That they're just scattered all over the place, and most of them are that smaller size, from 2 inches all the way up to like 3.5 inches.
Perfect sized.
Yeah.
Where would you go? Possible white bait things.
Boquilla, Jug Shoal's got white bait.
Devilfish
has white bait.
In between
Two Ponds has white bait.
The north end of the tailing flats up around Bird Poop Key. There was a bunch in there.
Rabbits go
pretty much the intercoastal.
Yep.
But there wasn't much on the other side of the intercoastal. It was all on the mainland side. That was the thing that I noticed.
Not even over by Uncle Henry's?
I didn't get that far down, but usually you'll see it from the Second Causeway Bridge down towards Miller's, and I didn't see anything all the way down to Sandfly on that side.
All right. Now, coming down to the last column, freshwater stuff. Who's heard of what freshwater?
Bluegills.
Bluegills. Where are we talking bluegills?
9 Mile Canal. 9 Mile Canal, and also been getting a couple reports from a couple Rotunda guys that have been getting into some bigger bluegill. You know, the bass fishing's been a little slow, but they've been fishing those culvert pipes, you know, getting some good, you know, the water flow is not dumping hard, it's just moving at a good steady pace, and they're fishing it with worms and minnows, and even a couple guys throwing the little, their fly rods with the little poppers, having a good time with that.
So. Okay, Carl, what do you got to say, freshwater?
I've been going and fishing all the runoffs, figuring there's been a bunch of snook at them, and I haven't been catching a lot of snook at the runoffs, but I've been catching a lot of bass.
Any size?
3-4 pounders. I mean, nothing crazy, but
still not bad. It's still not bad at all.
What you using for a lure out there?
A fluke, all white. Either that or a broken back Rapala. On a broken back Apollo, I'm throwing like a brown with a black top. With the flukes, I'm just throwing all white flukes.
Gotcha.
Strange how.
Kale?
No problem throwing those broken back Rapalas in fresh water, but none of us will throw them in salt water.
I always did.
I did.
When it's very hot.
Very rarely do I do it.
When it's very hot and very cold, they work way better than anything, because very hot and very cold means I have to slow down.
Right.
And going slower with a broken back
works better.
You get a lot more action out of it. Okay, you're up. What do you got, freshwater? Anything?
I haven't heard anything freshwater unless you want to count Whidden Bay being full of Mayan cichlids.
Okay. Well, we could go out for there. But I actually think that kind of wraps up the whole fishing report thing. I've got a lot of stuff to finish up on that. All right. Anything we missed, guys? I mean, we've kind of walked around the area. Anybody have anything they want to add to this?
Start bringing your entire arsenal with you, because everything's changing right now, so you've got a lot of options.
And not even when it comes to rod and reels. When it comes to your bait and your lures, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally kind of, you need to bring everything, including the kitchen sink right now, because it's, you go out with one agenda right now, and something else will pop up and change your plans for the day. And if you're prepared for it, you can actually have an absolutely incredible fishing day.
You know, and don't get hung up on, I'm going to go here and catch fish there. Go there, give it 20, 30 minutes. If you don't find a fish, move on.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible this time of year. This is just, these next several weeks are going to be awesome with this.
Now, we've been getting a lot of overcast every afternoon. It's cutting down the UV rays. Anybody noticed that?
I actually went out and didn't get sunburned yesterday.
Has anybody seen a water temp on the harbor?
Yeah, it was 86 when we were out around the tailing flats yesterday.
On the flats themselves?
Yeah, on the flats themselves.
Right. 87 today.
Yeah, I've been getting...
We're up in the upper harbor.
Up in the upper harbor.
In the upper harbor, 86 out on the intercoastal.
Yeah, I've been hearing mixed reports literally from 82 to 86 degrees all week.
So that's actually not too bad. I don't know if I can get this up quick enough.
The Gulf temperature on Saturday was at 82.
Yeah.
When you reached your hand in the live well, it didn't seem like you were putting it in a pot of hot soup.
I almost didn't get in the water. It was that cold.
Every time I slowed down to...
Right there,
we're spoiled.
Right there with you.
We went paddleboarding, then we went to the beach, and I said, it's pretty chilly.
Yep.
Okay, Key West at 85.8. Normal is 86 degrees. Naples at 86.7. Normal is 86. So a little higher as you come north. It's 86.7 again in St. Pete. Normal's 84.
It's come up a lot.
So as you're... going north of here, the water's actually getting much hotter than it's supposed to be. Pensacola, 85.5, it's supposed to be 82. So as you go south, the temperature's more of where it's supposed to be. As you go north, it's increasingly over what it's supposed to be. And we've seen that trend for the last few years. It does explain why there's king mackerel, bonita, the mahi, and all these other fish in our area, because there is a lot of bait around this area, a lot of food. But when the water temp is not really any different from Pensacola to Port Charlotte, that's when the fish just, they go there and go, well, it's not any better here, I'm going to go back down there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm closer to where I need to be in another 2 months anyhow.
Yeah.
So... I think that's what's bringing on this king mackerel bite we're seeing in the Gulf of Mexico, why we still have more Spanish and why we have this other stuff. There's nowhere else for them to go. They can't leave now and go north and find cooler water. This is going to affect the migration patterns of fish more and more as the years go by. There, I think what's strange is people don't realize the closer you get to the equator, the more level the temperatures are. We don't get as hot as they do in Louisiana and the Panhandle, and we don't get as cold as Louisiana, the Panhandle.
Right.
They get hotter and they get colder than we do. We are more intemperate. The Keys are 20 degrees a year less variant than we are. And you get down to Costa Rica and only varies 20 degrees for the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally from, what, 60 to 80 degrees or 70 to 80?
Yeah, probably 70 to 80.
Yeah, I don't think it gets much below 70 degrees, and it doesn't get much below 80 degrees or much above 80.
Depending on where you're at, yeah.
I mean, you got to go up the mountains to get colder, and then you go down on
You go into San Jose, and there's literally about a 12 or 14 degree temperature change all year round.
So the closer you are onto the equator, the more stable the temperature. Every mile you get north, the temperature changes. Tampa's a different climate than Port Charlotte. Punta Gorda is a different climate than Port Charlotte. Fort Myers is a different climate than Port Charlotte. Royal palms grow very well in Fort Myers, but are risky to grow in Port Charlotte. So you've got that little bit of temperature variant, and as you get north going up towards Tampa, none of us understand why anybody lives north of Tampa. We just don't understand that at all. It's too cold, too hot. You know, Carl's going, no, why would you want to do that?
Too cold.
Right. So
I think they try traveling down here, and then they hit the world's biggest parking lot, which is I-4, and say, all right, I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah. And I-75, you know, because they're... The left lane is so crowded with people, you just can't get down here anymore. So, zing. All right. Anyway, as we go through, I guess that's it. I know what I want to check. One last thing, and we're going to let you go, boys and girls, and that is the Peace River. Peace River, come on. Fishandfranks.com, weather and tides button, Peace River down on the bottom. 12.5 feet at the beginning of the week, and we are now down to... 10.5 feet.
That's still pretty high.
It was 13.5 last week.
Yeah.
So we have a massive amount of water coming at us. Mean average is 2,640 cubic feet second. Recent values are 3,400. The largest volume of water to come down that river was documented in 1933 at 16,000 cubic feet per second. That was an amazing flood, 1933.
Wow.
That's amazing, because, I mean, it's literally 10.5 feet now with 3,400 cubic feet per second. Can you imagine what it was like to get 16,000 cubic feet a second in 1933? Wow. I know. I'll be out just a minute. Wow. Yeah. You know, it doesn't crazy. Sound like much, but that's a lot of water, boys and girls. That's a lot of water. So, anything else we're going to go through today before we wrap up this edition of Radio Fishing?
No, not that I can think of.
We covered everything.
Just like Robert said, bring a little bit of everything with you.
All right, and the studio audience is glad we're done, glad we're over, and, you know, everybody, what'd you think of Robert today, boys and girls? You know, yes.
Crickets.
Yes, they do crickets. Like Robert. Okay. Yep. And Captain Kale, his input? Okay. And we do have Captain Carl here, too.
He didn't flush the toilet.
He's a thoroughly dangerous man. All right. Anyway, Fish and Frank here in the chair. And let's see how this all goes. All right, boys and girls, rather late edition of Radio Fishing. We're hoping that once the new store is up and running, and we're going to be on more of a regular schedule. But in the meantime, thanks so much for putting up with us. And on behalf of Robert, Captain Carl, Captain Kale, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.